I personally think that some of the most interesting prose poems that I've come across actually are from the Native American trickster tales, if you're interested in Native American literature. And I wrote a series of trickster tales about, trickster takes different forms. I generally think of them as coyote. Sometimes it's the raven, sometimes even the Spider-Man. But these all take the more traditional coyote. And the first one's called Trickster on Hajj. Dust clouds and mountain dew empties, coyote on the pilgrim trail, coyote making the journey to Bentonville, Arkansas, holy city and birthplace of Walmart. Coyote and Imram, his slender frame adored with the sacred plastic bags of Walmart, the same holy bags kept for sack lunches and used to bury the dead. Coyote reverent, but also reflective. Coyote remembers how it all started with just a pair of cutoffs and some pocket change. And now, millions of pairs of cutoffs, thousands of dollars in change. Coyote, but one in a sea of true believers, making the spiritual journey from Raleigh to Nashville to Little Rock. They will find refuge along the way. The white man in the NASCAR hat who hands out sticks of gum in Greensboro. The black woman in Memphis who makes her own beef jerky. Coyote knows we are all the same in the electric eye of Walmart peering down from above the parking lot. One people, united by a love of $5 patriotic t-shirts and 80-pound bags of kibble. Coyote the pious adjusts the plastic bag of moon pies slung over his shoulder and hunkers down for the long road ahead. Don't clap for all of them, they get worse. Kind of an interesting. Kind of went through a Gertrude Stein phase, so you have to bear with me. This is called Guilt Comes to Dinner and Stays for Pie. My migratory patterns are dissipating into a loose pile of nails. I leap the bitter end never far off tasting and wonder at the whistle that follows. The Grand Tetons, a last moon velvet to procure the chill autumn air. Oh, I've been there, said that before and always ever after. I've seen a big one, drop dump, bedloads of smallers like fowl. Yet I can no longer taste the nectarine, Marcel. Silly goose, whatever your name is. Your station in life, eternally productive and almost always Bermuda. How sweet. The nightlight is blowing out the last wisp of hair from the forehead of a child. Floppy? Floppy, is that you? How bitterly fantastic to swan indoors for a change, my ferret stole hissing, my hat reeling from the alcohol. I am caressing away all responsibility, folding up shop and loosening the tenants. Another year, we might have made it, you and I. Two to three? All right. I'm going to try to get through this sequence. This is called Travels with Bear. One, Highway 9 was always my least favorite stretch of road. Nothing but run-down truck stops and occasional strip joints. So when I saw the bear standing on the shoulder, trying to thumb a ride with its impossibly large paws, I thought, this could be interesting. It was probably stupid. I mean, we've all heard the horror stories. There's an all-too-real danger in picking up a companion, not to mention the fact that this was a bear. Looking back, I guess it was the element of danger I found so exciting. I'd never done anything like that before. I'll admit, when I slowed down enough to get a good look at what I was getting myself into, I almost floored it. But in the end, I pulled off into a gravel ditch, reached across the passenger seat, and pushed open the door. Two. The first thing I noticed was the smell. I'd always loved the smell of a pipe. Something about tweed and leather-bound books, a good roaring fire. When the bear pulled out the pipe and looked over at me as if asking permission, I remember thinking, this is going to be okay. I remember thinking that this was a bear of distinction, a gentleman bear, and I'm pretty sure I spent more than a few miles congratulating myself. Then the bear pulled out the dog, or what was left of the dog, or some miserable creature that had until recently shared the same general shape as a dog. It could have been a raccoon or a really large cat. I'll never know for sure. All that was left was the rump, a stub of tail, and two stiff legs jutting out like sticks from a caramel apple. Again, the bear paused and looked over at me before continuing. This time I was not impressed. The next 100 miles went slowly. 3. I like music, all kinds of music. I like rock, country, classical, and jazz. I like chant, glam, skiffle, and scat. I'll do new rockabilly, ambient industrial, lento violento, and Paraguayan polka. I'm eclectic. I'm open to new things. Bear likes the jingle for Yum Tom Bubblegum. It all started simply enough. I found a nice blues station, the perfect complement to the approaching sunset. A commercial came on, some annoying song by children extolling the virtues of their favorite gum. Happy kitties love some Yum Tom Bubblegum. Bear sat bolt upright in his seat. I turned the station. Bear turned it back. I looked over at the bear, reached over, and switched it again. Before my hand left the dial, I felt the firm grip of a bear paw, turning my hand and the knob back, 3-inch claws inadvertently flipping on the heater in the process. By this time, the commercial was over, and the bear was not happy. It continued to turn both hand and knob back and forth, first slowly, then frantically, like a man thrashing about in the water for his mother. Finally, Bear gave up and let go of my hand, slumped back in its seat. There was an awkward silence broken by the occasional snuffle that could have been a whimper. I stared ahead at the sunset that reminded me more of my bruised wrist than anything else. 4. It had long since gotten dark, and the bear had fogged up the windshield, craning its neck over the dash to look up at the stars. Suddenly, it began grunting and pawing excitedly at the door. Up ahead, a sign came into view, a sign for a run-down motor lodge. I looked at the bear. It looked at me. Without saying a word, I pulled in. I made to get out of the car, but Bear pinned me to the seat with an overdone gesture meant to say, "Hold on." I knew where this was going. Lord knows what was collected in that shaggy coat, but a wallet was bound to be found on the short list of things not found there. "I know," I said. "I'll cover it." But Bear wasn't done yet. There was a low snuff, like the assumption was a personal affront. "Really," I said. The weight of its paw had started to cut into my breathing. "I want to. You can pick up the next one." Something in my tone must have pleased the bear, because this time I was rewarded with a long, wet lick that started beneath the rim of my chin and ended up in the outcropping of hair that afterwards set out in a dramatic arc. The smell that lingered told of affections for honey and a liberal predisposition for grooming regions my tongue could never reach. "Don't mention it," I said as I stepped from the car. 5. Taxidermy never really showed up on my radar. Didn't even register. I knew what it was, and like other obscure hobbies, I tended to exert more energy into avoiding its practitioners than I spent contemplating its existence. To the owners of the Shangri-La Carriage House Banquet Center and Motor Coach Inn, taxidermy was an art form. To Bear, it was the Holocaust. When I first entered the dark wood-paneled room, I remembered feeling like I was being watched. At first, I saw only a pale raisin of a man sitting behind the desk listening to an old radio. The room was stale and his head was partially obscured in a cloud of cigarette smoke. Then, as the smoke began to clear, I became aware of the other eyes watching me, the glass eyes, the eyes of the deer, wolf, elk, and yes, bear that stared down from the walls. My first thought was that I had stumbled into some sort of Disney meets Kathy Kollitz exhibit. My second thought was of the bear. 6. There are sounds not meant for human ears. Sounds too high or loud to be healthy or so soft they can't be discerned. There are other sounds, too. Sounds too horrible to hold in one's head for long, like the sound of a loved one crying or the rasp of a death rattle. The sound that came from Bear upon the discovery of the dead art was still another kind of sound. There were a few moments when I actually thought the situation could be remedied. A few naive seconds when I honestly believed things might still be salvaged. But that was when the bear had only seen the ground squirrel on the desk and the almost cheerful jackalope propped by the waste can. By the time the bear looked up at the walls, I understood quite clearly there was no hope. Not for the old man, not for me, not for anyone. And then I heard it. Heard it pierce the darkness like a ray of hope, like pure golden sunshine. From out the tinny radio on the desk came the commercial for Yum Tum Bubblegum. 7. 30 seconds. I knew that was about all I had, and that was all I needed. There were images flashing across my mind as I splashed through the door and shot across the parking lot. I could see the bear standing on its rear haunches, rocking gently as if in a trance. I could see the old man fumbling beneath his desk for what? A gun? Medication? All I knew at that moment was that in 30 seconds, that jingle was going to end, and with it, any chance for escape. And so I ran. I ran and I drove, and I didn't stop until I ran out of gas. I pulled over at a little filling station just long enough for coffee, and I was back on the road again, putting distance behind me for the sake of distance. Finally, as the sun peeked into the rearview mirror, I slowed down a little and loosened my grip on the wheel. I reached over and turned on the radio. I found a blues station, the perfect complement to the approaching sunrise. Thank you.